Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Gwyn Sheltimer, my co-host, Felicity Signal-Reed, and our guest this week, poet and art critic, Gil McElroy. Gil, your writing has changed over the years. Is that because of changes that have occurred as you've grown older, you know, life changes, or are they more intertwined and integral to the work itself?
I think it's probably a combination of both, although more of the latter. Pieces, different kinds of writing tend to lead in different directions, and I've tried to follow that. And I try not to keep a really tight grip on my writing, as I mentioned earlier. I want to let the poem go where it wants. And I try to let what I'm, the kinds of ways I'm writing, my approaches towards writing, I'm trying to not keep a grip on that as well and let it go where it wants to go and follow it and see what happens. Sometimes it's dead ends, but usually it's not. Usually it's very productive. So as I've gotten older, my priorities have changed and my interests have changed and my character has changed. I think I'm a far more compassionate and decent human being than I was in my 20s. I'm less intense that way and more concerned with issues or about kindness. I know that's got to affect the poetry, how I approach the poetry. My poetry when I was in my 20s tended to be more cutting and aggressive and sometimes really kind of unkind. I'm not like that anymore. So I'm following the directions that the poetry suggests and seeing what comes up. So it's all intertwined. Who I am and the kind of work I do are indistinguishable.
I think every poet had a teenage, you know, black period and and that sort of stuff, the angst period.
Exactly.
And whatever. And I think you're right. As we age, we see things from a different perspective and our own needs take a little bit of a back seat and place in the whole picture.
When I was in my 20s, I was more willing to be brutal and I was willing to be offensive on purpose in some of my writing. There's no point of that. It was just whoever I was then tended to be not very nice. And I'd rather be kind of nicer now.
Well, good to hear.
Yeah.
And talking of nice, you have a Facebook page and many beautiful photographs up on that page, and you've used some of your photos on your book covers.
Right.
And so I'm interested about your photography. For instance, there's an abstract one there of stones and rock arrangements and things, but do you take these photographs when you're out on delivering mail, or do you do it as an art form in and of itself?
I do it as an art form in and of itself, but when I go out on a mail route, I always have a camera with me. A number of years ago, I was delivering a route out in Castleton, and I stopped on the side of the road, and I watched a cow who had just given birth in a field eat the placenta of the calf. I had no idea. It took me a while to figure out what was going on. It was this amazing sight across the field. And I sat there for about 20 minutes watching this mama eat the placenta of the baby, and it was the most amazing thing I'd ever seen in my life, and I didn't have a camera. But it changed how I viewed what I did, because doing the mail gave me access to a world I didn't always have access to. I drive a mail route up in Sterling now, and I commute from Colburn, and I take well over an hour to get up there, because I'm always stopping to take pictures of things on my way to work. But separate from that, there is that. Separate from that, I also have my own artwork that I do. I tend to either write a lot or do visual art a lot. And I've been writing a lot up until last year, and I slowly shifted over towards becoming more visual again. And I've had this burst of visual creativity, I guess, where I've been down to Wicklow Beach, just between Colburn and Grafton. I go down there on a very regular basis, at least usually once a day, sometimes more. And I do little works on the beach. I take pictures of what I see, what I encounter down there, but I become fascinated with the rocks. I had done a piece when I lived in Halifax on a beach not far from Halifax a number of years ago using stones, arranging stones so that seams, striations in the rocks all lined up in an interesting way. And it eventually became the cover of my book of poetry, Ordinary Time, published in 2011, actually. And I became interested in what I could do with that, what I could do using a beach as a canvas. And here I have these what are you going to do with this? So I've experimented with casting shadows over stones and taking pictures mm-hmm. of my shadow. It's called stone hearts. I'm looking for rocks that vaguely resemble the human heart. And I take a picture of my shadow cast over this stone. And I've been arranging rocks according to the seams and striations in them and taking pictures of them and post-sharing them. Just yeah. making things again, and I haven't done that in a few years, and it feels absolutely wonderful.
It does. I think most artists have have several arms to their creativity.
Yeah.
And one feeds the other.
Exactly.
And if you ignore one, it calls to you for
exactly.
a while, and you've got to go and give it some time.
Right. I'm not a photographer, per se. I'm just an artist, and I'm working with a camera right now. That's what I have access to. I've made art on paper I've burned art on paper as well. I've made large-scale land pieces using a whole field for an artwork. And I've done gallery installations in collaboration with an artist from Halifax. We did them in Newfoundland, Ontario, and British Columbia, a series of shows. So I've done many different things, working sculpturally with picnic tables for a number of exhibitions. Right now, it's just these rocks on this beach fascinates me.
Yeah.
It's a living thing, and I'm responding to it.
Next year it'll be barns or driftwood or something.
Exactly.
You know, who knows? So would you say then that poetry is your chosen medium, or would you give equal weight to all these pursuits?
There's a tough question.
Like, are you a poet?
I am a poet, but I'm not only a poet. I'm many things. I am infinite. I contain multitudes. Was the line from Walt Whitman. Every human being is that way. I have many different facets. We all have different facets. These are my different facets. Sometimes I put words together. Sometimes I make things. Sometimes I take pictures, etc., etc.
Great. Would you read for us again?
I would. I'd love
to read anything from the memoir at all.
That would tend to be kind of long. I do have. I'll read the beginning of one of the chapters. This is where the book started. This was the memory I wrote down, and I realized that maybe I could make something out of this, something bigger out of this. And it's actually the first couple of paragraphs are the actual anecdote or the memory that I wrote down as I wrote it down. The summer before he left, my father and I fished. Every evening after the supper dishes had been cleared away, we packed the car and drove up the escarpment that overlooks North Bay, behind the Air Force Base, and then descended a dusty dirt road that led to a pump house on the shore of Four Mile Lake. A short walk led us to a large boulder at the water's edge, and from there we fished. The thing about fishing is how little speech matters. The taciturn was a way of life for my father, and while I've no idea why, for much of it I was actually quite grateful. His silence spared me the possibility of an intimate, squirm-inducing conversation with a man I barely knew. On the rocky shore of Four Mile Lake, we cast our worm-baited hooks, tightened the line, and then waited, in the absence of word, for the strike, the nibble, the dousing of the rod tip as perch, our usual prey, found our bait. In our word-emptied silence, I would stare, mesmerized at my rod, at its tip, as the wind-rippled surface of the lake flowed along just out of focus behind it. And that's a story of how I ended up in the city of North Bay, which was part of a military transfer. We had been living on the west coast of the United States prior to that, and were transferred to North Bay, a couple of years after which my father left my family and went and worked on the Dew Line in the Canadian Arctic. Nobody remembers the Dew Line anymore.
I do.
He worked on the Dew Line for the next 20 years solid. He lived there, and he was there until it was shut down. And that's where the book actually progresses, up until his retirement and his illness and his death. And what I learned, how I learned to love and actually respect a man that I had had a very difficult and problematic relationship with all my life.
Yeah, they often say the writing of a memoir is cathartic, and,
it
changes you.
Absolutely, it was. I discovered things about myself in it. In the process of writing, I realized that I learned about things literally in the process of writing, because I discovered things I didn't know. When I wrote them down, oh my God, that's right, I do that, that's true. I never realized that before. But now that I wrote it down, it actually filtered to another level of my consciousness, and I became aware of things, mm-hmm. especially my relationship with my dad and my family.
And presumably you probably found out a lot about yourself as well.
Absolutely. The changes that I made from the angry teenager that I was to the more mature, more forgiving, more loving, kinder adult I hope that I've become.
Good. Could you maybe read us one more poem before we close?
I can. This is from a collection called, it's a chapbook called The Doxologies, published a few years ago, and it's a selection, a small collection actually, of Julian Day poems that are separate from the main sequence but integral to it. This is Julian Day 2456743. Venus, south of waning moon, gravitas on the Jersey side of the groove. It's all perspective, placekeeping, the long circular habits of vernal attachment, of course, not to mention my chilly front porch at the axial turn of the true. It's to see doused contours just past the slight hum of air, the pinch of clothing, the resolute winter, and my own demand for pate phrases. It's to notice the contrivances and the bitter obstacles of the heart. Bitter obstacles of the heart is something I know all about.
Yeah, I think a lot of us do.
Yeah, I do, yeah. That's what we learn in life.
Yeah. Well, many thanks to you, Gil. We've been speaking with poet and artist and photographer, Gil McElroy, and he has introduced us to his poetry and his memoir today. Gil, where can listeners buy your books?
Through Amazon, through my publisher Talon Books, or the Gasparo Press, they all have websites. Or actually, I'd prefer it if you are interested in my books, go to your local independently owned bookstore and purchase there. Support local independent bookstores.
Great. And listeners, if you'd like to connect with us, to send your comments, queries, or suggestions for whom we might interview in future programs, please visit our website, wordonthehills.com. At the website, you'll find all our programs archived, so you can listen to them anytime and from anywhere. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for tuning in today. We hope you'll join us again next week, Sunday at 1 p.m., right here on Northumberland 89.7, Truly Local Radio.